The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We're looking at Felica in the camera while he's standing by. He's like buttoning down his shirt. Please,
just trying to match the show, man.
Yeah, he's the bear. You know what that could mean. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Still to come, Jason Weingarten will continue with the AFC South, but he joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line now that his shirt is back to being buttoned. You may know him as the Bear. It's Chris Felica from Fox Sports, at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A on Twitter, joining us back at home on the East Coast after spending his whole summer in L.A. Covering soccer. What's happening, man?
I call this the Gill. Homage to you.
Yeah, so
by the way, nice schedule you have, by the way. Work a week, vacation, work a week, vacation.
You know what's interesting?
That's a good racket you got going on.
You know what's interesting about that is other people will just disappear forever and no one says a word about them. But I do that and people are like, hey, you're leaving again? Oh, you know, just don't want them to forget me. Okay, we have many sports to talk about. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your bread and butter first, which is college football. And I just want to go back to, you had a long shot Heisman pick when you came on several weeks ago. Could you refresh our memory where that stands, if there's anybody else you're betting in Heisman markets?
Yeah, Julian Sain, who is in the competition to be Ohio State's starting quarterback, was someone that he was 100-1 that I bet to win the Heisman, thinking that Ohio State, their starting quarterback, was going to be a Heisman candidate. And at the time, I wasn't sure what way they were going to go. And I'm still really not sure ultimately what's going to happen. But my sense is that Ohio State is so loaded that they probably will go with Will Howard, the experienced veteran who they brought in from Kansas State via the portal, to turn the keys over to him at least early in the year. But my guess is Sain will see a lot of time early in the year, and still possibly by the second half of the year, he could be the guy. But I think at the start of the year, when Ohio State plays nobody, we'll see a bunch of both.
Decision
then.
Okay. And did you bet anybody else?
Yeah, I did. I actually bet one of the Ohio State teammates, Jeremiah Smith, the freshman wide receiver who, by all accounts, is a complete freak show. Tall, physical. I know the immediate comparison some people have made to him is Julio Jones. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there for a second. But he is wowing people there. I've heard from people that he could potentially be a top five or top 10 pick right now if he would have left out of high school. I hear he's the real deal. And if you're in a situation here where maybe you're kind of poking holes in some of the quarterbacks at the top of the rankings there in the top 10 and looking for someone other than a quarterback to win, maybe he's the type of guy who can win. Remember, we saw Devontae Smith win in 2020, so it's not uncommon for a wide receiver to win. So I did bet Jeremiah Smith. He was at about 150-1 to win, so I got him as well. And then the only other college football thing I bet this week, I added to a position. I can't remember if it was this show or if it was with Will and Dave Ross. I bet more Arizona under 8, and it's 8 minus 140 at DraftKings. I just think the move to the Big 12 with the coaching staff, I know they bring Fafita and T-Mac back. They lost so much on up front on the defensive line, which was a big part of their success last year. They got to go to Utah. They got to go to TCU. They got to go to Kansas State. They got BYU on the road. And what they're going to face, I think, even at home, in Colorado at home, who knows how Colorado is going to be. I think 7-5 is certainly on the table for Arizona. Remember, this is a team that I think had a 20-game losing streak going into last year. And the improvement they made under Jed Fish and his assistants and his support staff was pretty amazing. And now with Fish and all those guys gone and a lot of them moved on to Washington, we'll see if Brennan and his coaching staff can do the same thing. But I'm under 8 on Arizona, and I added to that yesterday.
All right. By the way, Heisman Trophy odds, in case you're wondering, Dylan Gabriel of Oregon plus 750, Carson Beck 8-1 before you get to the double-digit folks there for Heisman. Is that the front sheet right there for Heisman? Yeah, I guess so. Okay. Quinn Ewers, by the way, leading the double-digit parade. All quarterbacks there on the left side of that screen. So where's the first non-quarterback in there? Man, it is loaded with quarterbacks. Okay. Baseball. Kelly, by the way, we're winning this VSiN-wide contest because the Braves Braves are only a game and a half clear of being on the outside looking in.
Let's go.
It's indeed. What are your baseball thoughts, sir?
Well, I've got that at 22-1 from way back when, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. And I fired this week as well on the Yankees at plus 1,700 to miss the playoffs in the same vein. They're 4.5 clear right now with the Red Sox. They've got 3 games at Fenway this week. This is a team, they're 10-22 in their last 32 games. They got the 6 on the road at Boston and Philly coming up. And you look, they face Cutter Crawford. They face Tanner Houck. They face Wheeler, Nola, and Sanchez in 5 of those 6 games. It's a horrific lineup outside of Judge and Soto. It's clear that they're not going to be a big buyer at the deadline. They're going to look through the discount rack and try and add some pieces here or there. They're not going to be in the crochet sweepstakes or anyone like that. You saw the Mariners make a move last night, which will probably be a big asset for them and Randy Arozarena. They can certainly get into wildcard consideration again now with that rotation. I think the Yankees are a team on the decline, and I think you can find worse bets out there than them at plus 1,700 to miss the playoffs. And then on the flip side, I think this was definitely with Dave and Will a couple of weeks back. We were talking about an NL MVP, and I mentioned, like, can you make a case for Francisco Lindor? And at the time, I really didn't know if I necessarily believed it. But if you look at what he's done the last couple of months,
incredible.
298, 13 homers, 33 RBIs, 12 stolen bases, he's third in the National League amongst hitters in WAR. Now, look, I get the Mets were 22-33 on the morning of May 30th. They're 32-15 since, and that coincides with this eruption from Lindor. We all know how the New York media market can go and drive a narrative and drive a story. We saw it. I remember when you were excited a couple of years back when Brian Daboll won Coach of the Year. So we've seen that happen before.
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah, we're handicapping voters. There may be some people out there who say, you know what, Shohei Ohtani, he's a DH. He's not even playing in the field. He's not pitching. There were people out there last year who didn't think he should win the MVP in the American League, despite the fact he was the best hitter and the best pitcher in the AL. The Dodgers were supposed to be good. Who knows how maybe there's some voters out there that kind of rolling their eyes about the gambling situation with him and be like, yeah, that's really what happened. Like, I think there's some people out there, and it'll be interesting to see how they potentially handle the vote for him. You've got Bryce Harper, who won Juan Soto's MVP a couple of years ago. Maybe people view the Phillies as being bolstered by that rotation this year and not necessarily Harper. I'm just saying, do I ultimately think Lindor is going to win? Probably not. He's down to 19-1, I think, when I checked this morning. I still think it's worth the play. But if the Mets make the playoffs, he is absolutely going to be in this thing.
Yeah, it's Shohei minus 400. It's Bryce Harper plus 450. And then it's Lindor at 19-1, who has been Bobby Witt hot. And I sort of view him the same way I do Witt, which is I want so badly to bet Bobby Witt Jr., but I see Judge's stats. And no matter how bad the Yankees get, I just feel like it's a New York bias. It's almost the opposite of what you're saying. It's a New York bias.
Right.
I can't possibly bet Bobby Witt Jr. But with Lindor, I look at Shohei stats, 31 homers, 74 ribbies, and I'm like, yeah, but right, I just can't quite get to a bet on Witt or Lindor, but I completely understand why you for all the reasons you state why that is a tempting bet. Olympics, we got 2 minutes. What do you bet?
Yeah, I bet France national team soccer to win gold. I think it's down to like plus 160 now. Like they are the best team. I think Spain is right there atop the odds boards with them. But this is not Spain did not bring really any of the players that were a part of the recent Euro championship run that they had in Germany. France has Mateta, Lacazette. Michael Olise, like they are, they're loaded. They are the best team. They completely shut down the U.S. in the opening match 3-0. It's kind of a trial run for Thierry Henry. Maybe he gets a bigger position throughout the world in the coaching ranks. But I think, I know Drew was very high on France under 24 and a half goals. I think it was. This is probably one of the goals that France is going to win. So even at plus 160, I would suggest a play on France to win the gold here in men's soccer.
Okay. Any thoughts on the Paraguay-Israel match? Any thoughts on that one?
Paraguay were one of the weaker, terrible sides in Copa, and certainly not the team that they once were back around 2010. I mean, you know how scrappy the Israelis can be on the pitch. Israel double chance, win or draw for Israel there. How about that?
You know how scrappy Israel can be on the pitch.
I liked the Paraguay breakdown for you to try to make you feel better.
Yeah. Well, Paraguay's
I remember 2010 World Cup. They were a threat. Anthony Alcaraz was a good defender, and they were kind of a middling Conan Ball team that could beat some of the big boys. This is not that team now. They were terrible in Copa a couple of weeks back. I bet some alternate win totals at the D right behind you, by the way, when I was there with Kelly and Jared last week, by the way.
Oh, would you fire?
I bet the Vikings over 7.5, Seahawks over 8.5, Jets over 10.5, Falcons under 8.5, Chargers under 7.5, and Buccaneers under 6.5.
Oh.
There we go. There's a deep dive breakdown on all those bets.
There it is. Deep dive. Thank you, Chris. Chris Felique, everybody. The Bear. El Oso. You know how Israel can be on the pitch. Thank you. And AFC South continues next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN NFL betting guide is out now, and our all-new college football guide drops August 1st. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and NFL seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats, trends, and power ratings, plus best bets on futures and season win totals. Sign up before the end of July and receive both guides and full VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, and exclusive data like our betting splits all the way through the Super Bowl for an early bird discount price of just $175. Football special discount price expires on July 31st. That is 5 days from now, so do not wait. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. By the way, I won't be here next week, so the chances I won't be able to do a most wins in August. I won't be here. So I'm out of the August sweepstakes. This might be the appropriate way to end it, though, because the Royals are not going to get there. Because, by the way, if you look at those standings...
I mean, you could always send it in if you got one, but...
Yeah, but I don't have an actual bet. I mean, you have to make it for me if you're willing to do that.
Always.
Maybe I should leave you some money before we leave.
Always.
Okay, maybe we'll do it that way so that I can participate. By the way, the July standings right now, it's unbelievable, the surge of these teams here towards the top. So the Mets are in the lead. The Mets are in the lead in July, 14-7. They've got 6 games left. The Rangers, with a 7-0 record in 1-run games in the month of July, are in second place at 13-6.
Wow.
The Tigers are in third at 13-7. The Athletics are in fourth at 12-7. And then it's Diamondbacks, Pirates. Think about those teams. Mets, Rangers, Tigers, A's, Diamondbacks, Pirates are your July leaders. 7-0, the Rangers are in 1-run games. By the way, the Mets are 5-1 in 1-run games. The A's lead the run differential month at plus 42. Good God. Good luck.
I had to check on a couple. I'm bookmarking these pages. I already had one of them bookmarked before. But remember when we found the station's desktop betting, soon?
Yeah, coming soon.
Still coming soon.
Oh, coming soon.
And I just checked on Betfred. As far as I know, no app, and I went to their website. Coming soon.
Betfred coming soon?
The app is coming soon.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah. We get tweets of being in book.
Maybe it's out there already. I don't know.
B. Miller. Betfred is at Virgin here in town. B. Miller, I so want to come to Vegas just to sit behind Kelly with a cigar during the show. Please, you're welcome.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to anytime.
Come on Sundays when these seats are actually open. I got to be up here for 4 hours.
The numbers, guys. The Prime bottle, the eyes are instantly drawn to it. Been wondering if it's just an advertisement or what. What's the odds of it being replaced by Musburger Aid in the near future? Oh, Michael Burns is showing this.
Clearly, people don't care that much because I actually moved it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah. I think the answer is yes, it was for promotional purposes because that's just an empty bottle.
I love that you just have full reign behind there. You can do whatever you want. Michael Burns posed. Oh, so he's talking about a cash out option on Paul Skeens for NL Rookie of the Year.
Ooh.
He's showing a 30-1 ticket that can be cashed out for 27-1, basically.
Rookie of the Year, though. I thought you were going to say Cy Young. For
oh, no, no. Because Cy Young, you're not going to get that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I guess you're. The reason you would take it is just to prevent against injury, or you know, he got shut.
Yeah, for yeah, yeah.
Reason. It's not a horrible.
I mean, yeah,
as far
right.
as cash outs go, that's a pretty good one.
I was gonna say he's almost automatic to win that, but you're right. There's still enough time that something bad could happen. I guess.
God forbid.
And if you're getting that much, right, it's like 27-1. You're saying, yeah, that's not bad.
And Bill Walsh talking about if Rafa Nadal doesn't play here, he said you should be able to carry your country's flag while humming your national anthem when you walk over your prone opponent in Olympic tennis. We'll all remember Nadal's 14 titles on this court and the one time Fuchs Vixen, the Hungarian flag, walked over him. Let's hope not, for God's sakes. All right, AFC South, let us continue. We talked earlier about the Texans and the Colts. How about the Jaguars? Or as some people like to say, the Jaguars. Same team. Both count.
I think I say both, by the way.
Do you really?
Why? Yeah, I don't know.
Where's the Wires?
I don't know.
The last nine games in 2022, remember, they won seven times. Remember, they had a comeback from 27-0 down in the playoffs against the Chargers. Tight divisional round playoff loss at Arrowhead to the Chiefs, and everybody thought, this is it. A direct quote from last year's FTN Almanac, Aaron Schatz's FTN Almanac, was, "This feels different." But like we just said about the Colts, they didn't do anything in the offseason last year. Except for, like, we're going to keep what we have. We're going to run it back. And then the last nine games last year, they had six losses, including 5 of 6 to end the season. You know.
How did I lose this bet? I still can't get over.
Living through your bet was just awesome. Jaguars were beaten in the last week of the season by the Titans. Remember that Mike Vrabel's last gasp grew in week 18?
Oh, I remember.
In a win and in scenario. Trevor Lawrence threw 14 picks. They lost Calvin Ridley to the Titans in free agency. In a weird standoff, did you see that? Like, standoff over his contract?
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, if the Jaguars re-signed him before free agency officially opened, they would have owed the Falcons a second-round pick. If they didn't, they would have owed a third-round pick. So the Jags chose to let him get a four-year, $92 million deal, $50 million guaranteed from the Titans, by not surrendering the second-round pick. They're like, nah, we're not going to give a second round. Let's see what happens. Ridley chose to take the money. They added Gabe Davis, who's going to basically take over the Ridley role. But that's like, I don't know that I view Gabe Davis as the Ridley role. You know what I mean? Jaguars, 12th in DVOA in 2022, 10th last year. But here's the deal. This is their opinion on the Jaguars in a nutshell at FTN. They're like, this is where like our eyes think things. But they were essentially the exact same team in 2022 as they were in 2023, is their point. Because Lawrence in 2022 had 24 interception-worthy throws and was somewhat lucky that they didn't convert into more than 8 picks. He just simply wasn't as lucky in 2023. Left week 13 against the Bengals, high ankle sprain. Left week 15 against the Ravens with a concussion. Missed week 17 with a shoulder finger designation, like he had both of them. They were 31st in defensive DVOA in 2021, 26th in 2022, and got all the way to 10th last year when Josh Allen had a 17.5 sack season, but they dismissed their defensive coordinator, Mike Caldwell, anyway, and they bring in Ryan Nielsen from the Falcons. So, by the way, and the Falcons were 24th in DVOA last year, so that's curious. They did add Eric Armstead, but again, like with Chris Ballard and the Colts, they are not fans of Trent Baalke. Here is the GM in Jacksonville. They do have, like, really getting Trevor Lawrence and Josh Allen and Walker on defense. They've got some great players, but the running game hasn't functioned. The wideout core is still, like, in upheaval again. The defense really hasn't maximized its talent. Now the coordinator change. And they still have $29 million of unused cap space. So they basically think that the Jaguars are the exact same team that they have been and that they will be a second-place team here.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see Brian Thomas, his development, because I think he's maybe the most interesting wide receiver coming out to me. Him and Keon Coleman, I guess, to really see what the true upside is with those guys. Bigger body wide receivers, you know, how athletic can you be in the NFL, though? I mean, look, I think after last year and the last couple of years, I think anything that comes out of my mouth about the Jaguars, you got to take with a grain of salt, because I am still bitter about losing these division bets last year. I think, though, Gil, I'm getting close to betting them to miss the playoffs. I think that's how I'm going to attack.
Flash up the odds, by the way, when we get a chance. And the Titans, they think the Titans are better than you do, probably. Vrabel out because of a conflict with the owner after he wanted to handpick his GM. She decided she didn't want to go the way that he did. And that was the end of Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. As far as Levis, Will Levis, led qualified quarterbacks with an average depth target of 10.6 yards, almost a full yard better than Deshaun Watson. And he did that with a offensive line that finished 29th in pressure rate for the second straight season. So that was interesting. But he took 28 sacks and 238 dropbacks. He had lingering foot and ankle issues. By the way, he took a lot of sacks at Kentucky as well. He holds the ball a lot. But in his defense, his sack rate was at least lower than Tannehill's was behind the same line. But they hire Brian Callahan, who hires his father, Bill Callahan, who is known to help with offensive lines. They get Calvin Ridley, as we just mentioned. Legarius Sneed comes over on defense from the Chiefs. Tyler Boyd comes over to join Ridley from the Bengals. Tyler Boyd comes. They have at FTM more belief in their defense than they do in their offense. They lost Azeez Al-Shaair and Danico Autry, but they still have Harold Landry and Jeffrey Simmons. They did finally cut Kevin Byard. Amani Hooker and Elijah Molden have shown flashes. And, of course, Derrick Henry, the big headline we didn't even mention, Derrick Henry is gone. So it's a whole different team, but they, because of their opinion of the Colts and the Anthony Richardson boomer bust, they've actually got the Titans ahead of the Colts. Yeah, that's how they break that down.
Everything I've heard from camp so far, really, it looks like it's, I mean, really going to be a true running back split in that backfield between Spears and Tony Pollard. I think it's going to be a fun team to watch because I think they're going to be airing it out a ton.
Well, if you buy into their order, like with the Colts being four, so you think about, like, what's the best bet here in this? Is it betting a team to win the division? No, remember these, they have exact order bets. If you believe in their assessment of the Colts and you feel like it's more bust than boom, that's probably where you can get most of your bang for your buck. Like, if you can do a exact order that ends up having the Colts at fourth, you'll probably get an amazing price on that. So that's probably in terms of just the sexiest play you can make. I think the Jaguars probably win the division just because, as great as the Texans are, these things don't tend to just soar year after year.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be shocked if the Texans did based on their assessments also. Interesting division, though, top to bottom, for sure. We'll come back. Jason Weingarten next on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from downtown Las Vegas, the D, Bar Canada. Second floor, corner, right by the sports book. Good description? Yeah.
Yep, perfect.
Past the Sigma Derby, dog leg right from the Sigma Derby. About a 20-foot putt. Those are the quietest Sigma Derby players we've ever seen in here, Kelly. Look at them.
Oh, yeah, seriously. It's 8:30 on a Friday. It's usually hopping by now.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Larry Fresh, what were the odds on a delicious joke today? Have a great weekend, fellas. Let's see. This is from Steve the Proxy. Not shocked to hear that you recall the exact order when you just happened to be behind Delicious. I'd probably remember that as well. A lot of Delicious feedback here. Screaming A. Smith. New York Yankees, no playoffs, 33-1 at the four letter. I think that's the cool kid's way of saying it. ESPN bet, I believe.
Yeah, I had to ask you.
The four letter.
Like four letters? MGM's only three.
And Steve the Proxy says, Betfred more likely to pull out of the U.S. as an operator than have an app in Nevada. They have about as much market share in the states they are as does Virgin in this city.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds right, Steve.
That sounds right. We only brought them up off air because we were like, stuff we don't even think about. Like, remember when FoxBet was a thing? We're like, and every time it came up, we're like, oh, yeah, FoxBet. Is that a thing?
Like, why isn't that bigger?
Why isn't that bigger? So that's why we're like, oh, you mean is Betfred still here? That kind of thing. Let's talk to Jason Weingarten, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Spreadopedia. No visuals on Jason. Back to the phone. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Hopefully I'll get that laptop fixed this weekend or something, but we'll see.
Hope you can work out that whole laptop caper.
They told me I can keep it. Now I just got to get it to work.
I've asked you this before, but it just came up with Chris. So He is betting the Yankees and has bet the Yankees to miss the playoffs. We just heard it was as long as 33-1. He didn't quite get 33-1. They're 4.5 games clear of missing out. It really is Judge Soto and then just a poo-poo platter. Gerrit Cole has not looked good, obviously. Then you have the Braves. The Braves are only 1.5 clear. Are they both missing the playoffs, or is one of them missing the playoffs, or neither of them missing the playoffs?
I think it'd be pretty unexpected if both missed the playoffs. I wouldn't be surprised if one of the two missed the playoffs. I still think Atlanta would be the team for me, but that's an interesting bet for the Yankees. It's a big number. A lot of things still have to go wrong, but a lot of things haven't been going right for them. Does Aaron Judge still win the MVP if they miss the playoffs? Is that a reasonable question to ask?
That is. So I brought that up in the last segment because I so badly want to bet Bobby Witt Jr. But if the Yankees just miss the playoffs, is Judge not winning is the question? Or would the Yankees have to be just so bad the rest of the way? Is that the only way? Because I do think there's a New York bias there.
I mean, the precedent has already been established by Ohtani that your team making the playoffs shouldn't, impact or shouldn't be the be-all, end-all. So I would say probably he still wins if he puts up, close to 60 home runs. He's not going to be the reason they don't make the playoffs, but it's at least a question worth considering at this point if things keep going the way they're going.
But if they miss and the Royals make, they're still not giving it to Bobby Witt?
I'm glad I don't have to vote on it. it's definitely going to be a consideration. I got a Bobby Witt card to sell you if you think he's going to win the MVP right now.
Jason always trying to sell the baseball cards. By the way, when I was in DC, I was telling you this. I have 15 T205, T206s, and T207s. They're of nobody, and they're in horrible condition. Are they worth anything?
I mean, they're worth something to somebody. People collect those. There's people out there that are trying to complete the sets and stuff. So, it's probably somebody out there needs a card that you have.
Also, I have unopened packs, but of course I picked the wrong year to do that. 81 tops where there's no great cards or anything like that. But Jason is very active selling his baseball cards if anybody's interested. And then the Braves thing is interesting also because, again, we have them in the contest here at VSiN at 8-1 to miss the playoffs. I got them in real life at plus 750. Yesterday, they're still plus 350 to miss. Isn't that still a good bet?
It's a decent bet. I mean, they were 8-1, 9-1 for the last couple months. I always tell people, I don't recommend jumping in on this at 3.5-1 if you weren't thinking about this a week ago. It's probably... it's an all right bet. It's not a great bet.
No, it's not. And for those of us who have better, obviously we're not necessarily jumping to make it. But I also think, for as many times as we say that, right? It's a too cool for school thing to say, well, I should have recommended this before. Steve Fezzik is big on this. I can't possibly recommend this now when it was this just the other day. But man, a lot of people, their brains purge all the bets they miss out not doing that too, right? So we may look back at the plus 350. It was the year Shohei won the MVP, and I only got the 4-1, right, when everybody else had 30-1. It's still what it closed, minus a bajillion, right? So I don't know. They just have so many injuries, man. It'll be interesting. Anything you bet in baseball today?
Yeah, I got to think of a player, too. Let's see. Hold on. I got to pull it up real quick. I was busy kind of paying attention to the Olympics. We're getting ready for the Olympics.
We hate to surprise you with this segment every time, Jason. Apologies.
Oh, right? I know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the Braves, I bet against them today. I bet on the Mets. Kodai Senga, minus 134. Little surprised to see the Mets favorites, but to your question about the Braves missing the playoffs, if you assume the Braves are going to miss the playoffs, who do you think is going to make it in their spot? Do you think it's going to be the Mets at this point? And if it is the Mets, what's up with Francisco Lindor? I know Chris Felica likes him to win MVP.
Yeah.
Is he in the running all of a sudden too?
Well, we just talked about it. It's also can you take the New York bias thing and flip it. Will that be enough? So if the Dodgers just kind of, lollygag their way into the playoffs, but the Mets get to the playoffs, Shohei will still have gaudy stats. It's 31 homers and 74 RBIs as we talk right now. But Lindor, I mean, if you're watching Lindor now, it is a sight to behold. Like, every time he comes to the plate, just some amazing thing happens, it seems like.
I think I'm tailing Felica on this bet. I can't get the Wembanyama factor out of this with Shohei. With the fact that Shohei's not pitching this year, how many voters are just going to just have in the back of their mind that they know they're going to give this award to him so many times in upcoming years that any reason to push him to the side this year could happen?
What do you think, Jason? 19 to 1.
19, it's probably about the edge of where I'd still pile into it. But, you know, I think with Ohtani and with Judge, there's room for somebody else to win these awards. And we see it every year. You know, we kind of start penciling guys in around now and assuming that nobody can be beat. And then guys are always beaten down the stretch. It happens almost every year.
Yeah, this is not the same thing. This was Cy Young, but I always think about our buddy Base Winner. When he gave Robbie Ray at 100-1 to win Cy Young, it was on July 31st. We're not even there yet. Like, there's still 2 months of regular season baseball to be played. How are you feeling about your Chris Sale Cy Young in the NL? Are you confident still?
I'm confident that he, you know, he has a wide runway to bring the award home. I'm not so worried about Paul Skenes passing him. I think Dylan Cease and Zach Wheeler more than Cease are the main competition at this point. It's going to take Sale taking a step back for somebody to catch him, but it's nice to see at this point, you know, the guy, you know, essentially controlling his own destiny. But that doesn't mean he's going to win. It just means he has, you know, a very good opportunity to close this out. And he's pitched really well. So it's kind of back to your point about the Braves. I'm rooting for so many different things with the Braves. It's kind of like a form of schizophrenia. I want them to miss the playoffs, but I want Chris Sale also to be good.
Right.
So I don't know what I want. You know, it's hard to, what do I want? I'm not sure.
Sale plus 140 to win the Cy, Zach Wheeler plus 160, Skenes all the way down to 3-1. And then Dylan Cease, he threw a no-hitter yesterday. We didn't even mention this. We went almost the whole show without mentioning a no-hitter. Dylan Cease, 114-pitch no-hitter for the Padres yesterday in their 3-0 win over the Nationals. Todd Wishnev had him at 16-1 to throw the no-no yesterday. I don't know if he got it in game. I think he got it in game, like a few innings in, that some book was offering that in game.
And he That's hit awesome. 16-1.
Yeah. But it's real quick. Like, if you don't get it, like, I think Will tried to bet it, and then he was like 10 seconds too slow on the draw. But Dylan Cease gets there. Anything else in baseball today besides the Mets?
I bet the Dodgers. Dodgers plus 111 at the Astros. They're on Apple TV tonight, I think. It's hard to keep up with which channel is what, but I think that's how you watch it tonight. I'll be watching it. I don't get to watch very many Dodger games, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, Friday night is Apple TV night in Major League Baseball. All right, Jason, got to go. Anything else for the weekend that you're betting on Olympics-wise?
Mostly golf. The basketball, I think, starts in the middle of the night, so I'll be watching that closer to game time. But
no futures. No futures?
No futures. Just hanging out. Should be a fun weekend.
Hanging out. Fun weekend. Back from the Hamptons. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Pleasure. Have a good weekend, guys.
Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. A little update on golf. See if any of your golf plays are looking good here.
Check that leaderboard this morning.
Why don't we do that?
I bet Canada to medal, by the way, during the show.
Canada
minus 109 to medal.
To medal in basketball.
In basketball.
Just clarifying which sport.
Yeah.
We'll come back. Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Our website lives, VSiN.com. Best bets, betting slips, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. Some really good baseball stats on there as well. Sneaky good at VSiN.com. Check it out. And, of course, on the front page today, a smattering of sports as per usual. Saratoga picks once again up there from Ed Sehan and Adam Burke with his NFL betting guide, previews, picks, and predictions. Josh Applebaum on his MLB betting splits piece. Adam Burke also in there with NFL Survivor pools. How about that? Blueprint for all 18 weeks. Survivor season is upon us. It's all at vsin.com. You going to do Survivor this year, Kelly?
Yeah.
You going to do...
I'm going to be in.
You're going to be circa millions also?
Yeah.
How many entries for each?
Probably one, just one and one.
One and one?
Yeah. Probably.
I'm definitely doing we'll one see. Millions, but who knows how many.
Or I don't, like, I always do 2 millions, I should say. One by myself, one I always split with a buddy back east.
Have you ever flirted with greatness in millions or in any like contest?
I've been live going into the final weeks of quarters multiple times.
Oh, okay.
Probably three or four.
I'm just talking about the full season.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, I've had multiple where I think I've had 2 seasons in millions where I've hit over 60%. You just don't even come close.
The 1 year I was in the gold contest over there at the Westgate, I think I got deep into that where I was like interested literally through 10 or 11 weeks and then I fell off. But that was a smaller pool, obviously, too. But Survivor is the gift that keeps on giving. Joe Pita's back in it this year. He was talking about how pumped he is about it.
I've never played it.
You've never done Survivor?
Not at Circa. I've played it at other places. I've never done Circa Survivor.
Oh, man, it's the greatest thing ever.
I'm always the guy who craps out early.
Although I will say this, and I know I'm going to let the hate wash over me. That whole run down the stretch last year, and by the way, Greg Jones was so kind to like share with us everything he was doing. Fezzik was part of that. So we were like really into the weeds on how folks were trying to monetize their pools down the stretch. That was almost more stressful than the game itself. And I wonder if you were alive.
It's the legend Randy McKay.
It's Randy McKay off it. If you were still alive like the last 4 or 5 weeks and you were monetizing it, you almost dread it in some weird way.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, now I got to deal with this. And I got to deal with everybody telling me what I'm doing wrong and what I'm doing right. Like, I feel like everybody's a know-it-all down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And it kind of.
Including us, yep.
Well, we tried not giving our opinions, you and me, because there were people way smarter than us who were.
We tried not to. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, it was this weird thing that before last year I hadn't really felt it. But last year I was like, oh, my God, this sounds terrible now. And then we all went out to dinner with the winners and we were all having a great time. But I'm just saying it added a little bit of negativity to it.
I think you had a great point even beginning, you know, this probably around this time last year of the, you know, what's the correct number to be playing, right?
Oh, entries, yeah.
Yeah, entries wise. I think that's a fascinating discussion.
People lose their mind when I say that. They think they're so much smarter than me on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just rolling with one. I'm always a guy, like, I've done Survivor contests before. Like, I don't know that I've gotten beyond week like 6 ever.
Oh. People have trouble because I say you play only one optimally.
Right.
Okay. But again, that doesn't mean like I'm only playing one. I'm starting with a bunch, but ultimately the other stuff is overrated. If you can get deep with multiple, then it's not overrated.
Right.
Obviously. But the people who do, and then people use that as evidence to suggest why that's a better way, they're a smallest fraction of people who get that way. That doesn't prove that I'm wrong. Right?
No,
it just
totally.
Proves yeah, that yeah. you were the smallest amount of, you were in that small thimble of a percentage that was able to make it work for you. But for most people,
that's also like you're talking like the, you know, playing it optimally too. Like that's the, yeah, like I've never gotten deep in a Survivor contest, but that's good. Like I'm usually taking pretty big risks like early on. Like teams that I think I know better than, right? And want to get out of the way to be able to capitalize on them early to set up the back end better.
I've gotten deep in one or two in my life, and I almost am thankful I only have one at that point.
Yeah. Yep.
But. People are going to...
So much. So much fun. I think that
it's so great.
Like I was saying, I always do one Circa Millions myself. I do one I split with a buddy back east. I think much like fantasy football, things like this, if you split contests with old friends, like what does it do? I'm a guy who's in his late 30s now. Some of your friends that you've had from, you know, high school, college, early 20s or whatever, that you don't talk to much these days because everybody's lives are so busy. It like forces you to have a conversation every single week, right? So like, it's one of my favorite parts. It's one of my good friends.
Oh, you become obsessed with it.
Yeah, but like, it makes you keep in touch with someone. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. These contests.
I know everybody talks about it. We were the only show talking about it for a couple years, right? And it's obsession. It's an absolute obsession. Mm-hmm. You said you were in your late 30s? Yeah. Aren't you 36?
37, about to turn 38.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, if you're
36. For late, right?
Yeah, a little late. People who are like 36 who say they're late 30s, I'm like, no, you're still mid. 34 through 36, still mid. I have one tennis pick later today, by the way. This is the last tennis matches before the Olympics. We hit on Magdalenette this morning, easy peasy. And then I got the best of a walkover, finally.
Nice. Look at you.
That feels so good.
You're like 1 in 22 in your past 23.
That's correct.
Walkovers.
That's right. But God bless America, I got one back and got one back this morning. So we're 1-0 today, and the only one I have left is in Atlanta. That's tonight on the hard courts. I am taking a dog, Mattia Bellucci. Mattia Bellucci, plus 133 is what the price is right now against the Frenchman, Arthur Rinderknecht. That is in Rinderknecht is in is a French player, but that's in Atlanta tonight. And again, I put these out, as does every host and guest on the network, every sport, at VSiN.com/picks. That is for subscribers. And by the way, I got Bellucci at the exact same number yesterday.
How is Tiafoe only minus 200 over a dude I've never heard before?
Yoshihito Nishioka?
Yeah.
Because Nishioka's been playing really well all of a sudden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought Karatsev might take down Tiafoe. I didn't have a bet in it, but Tiafoe is big. Big foe is great in the United States.
I was going to say, there's only two names left in this tournament I even recognize.
You recognize Big Foe, and you recognize Jordan Thompson.
Oh, no, I don't have no idea who that is. His opponent tonight, Alejandro Davidovich Fekina, because right. You've played him a few times.
By the way, Junshin Chang beating Ben Shelton yesterday. I was going to text you and say, oh, look, just watch Ben Shelton lose a match.
Oh,
you enjoy that.
Yeah, I do.
Golf tournament.
You know what? It's not that I want the guy to lose. I just don't like watching him win.
Okay. Do you know what happens when you don't win? Andrew Novak is your leader at the 3M Open. That's in Minnesota. He's 9-under. He shot 3-under through 13 today. He's a one-stroke lead over Matt Neesmith, who is 5-under for the day, 8-under for the tournament. And Jacob Bridgman is also one shot back. Jacob Bridgman was the first-round leader. Did any of you all have Jacob Bridgman shooting a 63 yesterday?
No.
Jacob Bridgman, no relation to former Milwaukee Buck Jr. Bridgman, who apparently made millions upon millions of dollars after his NBA career.
Was listening to Jacob Bridgman speak after his round yesterday, too. And, man, these flights are still an issue for people around the country. I guess I wasn't aware of that. Like, that's terrible. It's still happening. His caddy had to drive his clubs up from Sacramento. And they're in Minneapolis.
From Sacramento.
And then there was something about like a putt, like the him needing his backup putter. You always love hearing these stories. You have like first round leader bets and this guy. Oh yeah, it's my putter from college and I haven't used it like in 5 years. That was the story of Jacob Bridgman yesterday. The putter looking good.
He has eight birdies
on his round yesterday.
Yeah, he's not teed off today. He's just chilling at eight under, one back now. Your guys have not teed off either, right? Your guys meaning
Finau and Mitchell. Yeah. I do have Rico Hoey, who's not doing very well, but he was 75-1.
All right, so besides Bellucci then, again, tonight in tennis, again, I have Karolina Mukova quartered number 2 in the Olympics women's side of things. I have Iga to win it. I have Carlitos Alcaraz to win it on the men's side. You have Canada to medal in basketball now, you said?
Canada to medal in basketball. I laid 7 with them tomorrow against Greece. And then I'm excited about my tennis positions in the Olympics.
You got Carlos?
I got Coco at minus 110 to win her quarter when we were on the air. And then I've got Alcaraz at plus 170 and plus 180.
Woo, you got better numbers on Carlitos than I did.
Man,
nice.
I'm more excited about this than any major so far.
Kelly Bidlin.
Grand Slam.
Tennis positions. By the way, someone tweeted yesterday they want to return to Kelly Bidlin pronouncing tennis names during a
Wait, why do you think I avoided two of them right there?
All right, we'll do that as well.
Why do you think I called Mr. Nishikoa Francis Tiafoe's opponent?
Nishioka?
Yeah, that
all right,
too.
And I got to give you some money because I won't be here, but August I'm going to make a most wins, or I think I'm going to make
They're up at Caesars.
Oh, they're already up?
Yeah, they're up, yes.
Did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, Eric tweeted us yesterday, I thought.
Okay.
Retweeted me.
He didn't tweet me. Eric might be mad at me.
Stop making people mad. Calm down, man.
It's kind of my thing, I guess. So I'm learning. Only never happened until I moved here. All right, we've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. I will not be here next year. Next week. We don't know who is in for me yet. You will. We'll find that out.
I'll be here for a few days, yeah.
Yeah, enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.